Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast number 2.
Back again.
I'm Robert Digital. I'm here with Ender's Logic.
Ender's Logic. Bobby was saying maybe you guys should know why we call ourselves this. Obviously, we're PC gamers. Everybody needs to have a handle. Which, by the way, handles in general, I think are going to go the way of the dodo. I think with all these,
people... I thoroughly disagree, but continue.
Okay. There needs to be more accountability for, like, YouTube comments and stuff like that. They're already doing it where you're getting linked into your Google Plus account when you're putting... And I think that's just going to continue. And also, into gaming, hopefully. I think it's great. And then also you won't have to like keep trying to get all these different names. This name didn't work. This name didn't work. I would like to show up at a game and I could just put in my whatever social security number or whatever, and it's already set.
Whoa. Okay.
Don't you think that like kids these days have their online persona as well as their regular one, and it's becoming more and more intertwined.
Yeah, I think the virtual identity and your real life identity are slowly converging.
Right. There needs to be accountability for that thing.
Yeah, and I think accountability is important. Maybe it's just because we're old and we're tired of these little rapscallions on the internets calling us racial slurs, but I don't know.
You more than me somehow.
Yeah, I get the hate. I don't know. It's because I'm a smart ass.
Oh, it's for me, that's why.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, you contribute to that. But, yeah, I don't know. I like screen names. I think they'll still stick around, and I think that... They're kind of like nicknames. I mean, some of them are ridiculous. You know, we got that buddy we play Smite with. It's like Electric Viper spelt wrong. I always think of...
Buddy? Buddy's a strong word. Anyway. Sorry.
But what's that movie with the two Step Brothers? Whenever I hear screen names, I always think of that scene in Step Brothers where they meet and he's like... My name's Dale, but you have to call me Dragon, you know? And it's just, like, some of them are just so ridiculous.
Yeah, like, all my life I've never had a nickname. And so my friends, we were on a trip or something, and they had all nicknames. They're like, what's your nickname? And I came up with the most ridiculous thing. It was called Silver Dragon. So in a lot of their phones, my name is Silver Dragon in their name. And actually, I'll do it right now. Give me 1 second.
Silver Dragon, so pretty close to Dragon.
What's my name?
You're Laurel, but since we're friends, I get to call you Silver Dragon.
Boom. I mean...
Confirmed by Siri. Wow.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Well, how did you get the name Ender's Logic?
So, my favorite book of all time is Ender's Game. Great book. Highly recommended. A movie came out about it.
That's blown wide open. Everybody must know where the name comes from now.
Yeah, for sure. And originally, when I first started using it, people would be like, hey, are you my friend from this other game? And I'd be like, no. Like, get away from me, you creep. But no, the more I would play, the more likely I'd run into more Enders. Ender, 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 Ender this. And there'd be one in every game. So then I also had another screen name, which was Logic, which was one of my tunes on EverQuest, and with a K.
Logic,
and then so
K.
I just put them together. And so Ender's Logic, which is great because any game that I show up with, that's my name. You find you go on my Steam. Well, actually, it's not my Steam name, but you can't change that, can you? I think I've tried. I haven't.
No, you can change your Steam name. I mean, there's the name that you log in with, and
right,
then there's the one that's displayed to people
on
your friends list. So, yeah, you are Ender's Logic on Steam.
Yeah, and I'm Ender's Logic in just about any game in the last 5 years and from now on. So that's why I've stuck with it. And it doesn't have a nice ring to it, but it works for me.
Yeah, I think it works. And, you know, I'll get into my name in a second here, but what's your opinion on numerical values replacing letters in screen names?
like fatality, right?
Is that fatality does it.
I think it's one of those things that are inherent to the internet, right? It's one of the, it's part of our leet speak, if you will. It's not good or bad. It's just part of the thing that comes with the system. That's just the way it works, man.
I'm going to downvote it. I'm going to say on numerical values and names. I don't know. I mean, that shit's cool when you're 10, but yeah. I don't know. Sorry if I offended anyone there, but, my name, I go by Robert Digital now because I figured I'm getting a little older, you know, I should sound a little more, mature. So I went with Robert instead of Bobby.
Yeah. You were Bobby Digital in a couple of,
Well, my Steam name's Digi and I go by that. That's actually a real life nickname that was given to me, by my circle of friends when I was younger, because I was always the nerd of the group. And this is back when, this is back before everybody was nerds. So me being the computer
nerd, cooler than us.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was there from the beginning. and of course it comes from the Wu-Tang clan, you know, the RZA, his name's Bobby Digital. So I basically stole his nickname because my name was Bobby and I was always like tinkering with electronics, computers, whatever. So the name just kind of happened upon me with my circle of friends, and later it just got shortened to Digi, which I liked. Not a lot of other people out there with that. The problem with it, though, is everyone always pronounces it Diggy. Like I'm the dude from the, what is that, Diggum Snacks? Or
I've never heard anybody say that.
Oh, all the time I get Diggy.
Oh, that's rough.
Well, maybe not all the time, but
yeah. It's funny because I asked Digital Viper, or what was it, Electric Viper. His. And he is actually a viper made of pure electricity in real life, so that's why he went with that.
Oh, well, there you go. Mm-hmm. That's, all right, makes sense. Yeah, well, at least he doesn't have any numbers in his name.
That's true.
Oh, God.
All right, so you want to get into the news here?
Yeah, let's slip on into news here. We're going to talk about John Carmack leaving ID Software. And again, this is not recent news, but it's
big news. And PC gaming, anyway. CNN's covering this.
Yeah. Did John Carmack ever have a handle? Do we know what his was?
That's a really good question.
I wonder what that was.
I bet you could search that up real quick.
Yeah, I'll have to see if that is. Because I'm reminded of the story of him leaving ID Software. Reminds me of when Cliff Bleszinski, Cliffy B, as he's known, left Epic like maybe a year or two ago,
right.
I think 2 years ago. But his name, he had an awesome handle. He was Dude Huge. That was cool. But yeah, John Carmack leaves ID Software to focus on the Oculus, which is awesome.
Yep. I mean, Oculus is where things are headed. ID is where things were. So it's only a natural progression for a guy as brilliant as him to make the make the jump to where things are headed. I mean, it's pretty simple. ID has, what's the last good thing ID's done? Can you name it?
Oh, the Oculus?
No.
Oh, ID Software,
yeah.
Or ID. I think it is ID Software. Yeah. But the last thing they did was Rage. The last good thing
awful.
They did.
Doom?
I'm scratching my ID. Doom. I really did like Doom 3.
Yeah. Doom 3 was great.
So, yeah.
That'll go
Doom
into
3.
Our later on in our scary part of things.
Yeah, had a blast.
God damn, that was a scary game.
Yeah. But, yeah, you know, it's like, does John Carmack need to be at that company?
No.
Probably not. I can't think of any great reason.
Honestly, I don't see that company surviving much longer.
Yeah, unless they do something great. But who knows? You know, these companies always manage to surprise us. But I think his talents are way better spent working on the Oculus.
Now let's talk about the Oculus. It's a headset you put on to put yourself virtually into a 3D world. People have tried it before. This is the first one that seems to work. There's no delay when you move your head around, which was the big thing that would take you out of the sub-reality that you're trying to put yourself in. So they're getting to the point where, I guess, when you wear this thing the first time, you have to have your body touching like a chair behind you, because you can get disoriented pretty easily.
A lot of people are getting nauseated from it.
Yeah, I've never really had an issue with like first person games or first person movies. Like some people, Blair Witch, and they had to leave because of the way it was shot. But I don't perceive myself having any issues like that. Do you have any the car sicknesses or anything like that?
No, not at all. And I use the NVIDIA 3D Vision with my gaming a lot of times when it's available, and I don't have any problems with that. You know, some people can't see 3D. A lot of people don't like 3D.
Some people can't see 3D, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, there's like a 5% of the population or something weird like that can't even see it.
You know, that's one of the things you can get in Rogue Legacy where you can't see 3D.
Oh, yeah.
So when your character turns around, it flips
like
a coin.
Yeah, paper.
Yeah.
Thing. Yeah, but you know what? Anything that's like new and cool like this, I kind of suppress whatever physical discomfort I have with it just to enjoy it. Because I'm just like, oh, this is awesome. You know, I think the benefits far outweigh anything else with it.
Man, if somebody mods Skyrim and lets me walk around Skyrim with an Oculus VR in it, I mean, there goes all of my life. I'm probably going to lose weight because I'm not eating. It's going to be bad, man. You're going to have to come over and pull me away from that thing. Cause
dude, that would be an amazing experience with the Oculus. Skyrim, just so expansive. You could just walk around. You could just walk around and even like fight anything.
Yeah, you don't even have to fight anything. I mean, fighting things would look weird because you're like maybe swinging your arms around with some kind of like 3D viewer watching you. I don't think I could see myself doing that. I think wearing the thing and then having my input still be the mouse and keyboard is probably what I'm going to do. But I can really see them using like, what's the thing that the Xbox One uses to capture video? They have that camera.
Oh, the Kinect. Is that what that is?
Yeah, I think the Kinect.
Yeah.
And that thing is so powerful. It can pick up this new one. It's so powerful. It picks up emotions.
Like and the facial expressions.
Right. And the games.
Yeah, very subtle.
Yeah. And the games will be able to play off of your emotions, which is wow. It's amazing. It seems like a bit much for me right now. Like if somebody walked into my room and I have my hand in a holding shield position and a holding sword position, I'm going to be kind of embarrassed, I think.
Yeah, dude, this opens up a whole new region of social etiquette and all sorts of other things. You know, it's just, you can't even predict where it's going to go with this.
And it's not just used in the gaming realm. It's being used in all kinds of things. I was telling you the other day about Elon Musk, who is probably this generation's Tesla. Maybe not that much. Tesla was a mad genius, but so is Elon Musk. I'm glad guys like him are around because it's about time this motherfucker starts looking like the future. I mean, I've been waiting for the future forever, and this guy, he has the Tesla motors. His cars look badass. They're 100% electric, and they work. People buy them. I talked to a lady the other day. She had a jacket on. I asked her about it. She said she loved it. It's a dream come true. She loves her car. He has SpaceX, which is a privately owned space company that, by the way, has a spaceport. There's spaceports now, guys. If you look up spaceports, there's like 20 in the United States alone. Spaceports, not airports. And he's doing it so cheap. NASA has now commissioned him to take stuff up to the ISS for the entire next year, I believe. And the other thing, and he come up with the Hyperloop, which is the pneumatic tube that
The Futurama tube.
Yeah, it'll take passengers or cargo way faster than planes. And anyway, so he uses the Oculus Rift to work on things in 3D space, exactly like Tony Stark. And if you look up the video, Elon Musk, Iron Man, you'll see that he works with his hands with virtual items in virtual space, putting together rockets. It's amazing.
This guy pretty much is Tony Stark.
Yeah, except for he's not very well spoken because you can kind of see his brain's going so fast that his mouth can't keep up.
Yeah. He can't even convey what he's thinking.
Right, kind of like Carmack, but Carmack's
That dude's on another level too. I mean, he's known for giving these keynotes at QuakeCon that just go over everybody's head. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I've tried to watch John Carmack's keynotes, and they don't make any sense to me. But maybe to the like game developers and people who understand that stuff, it makes a little more sense.
Yeah, I need Carmack's for Dummies.
Yeah, definitely.
Keynote for Dummies.
But I love how this guy's just such an icon in the gaming community. Like, he created Doom back in the day. He was a designer for Doom and is just ever since then.
Way ahead of his time.
Yeah, ever
Wolfenstein
since.
As well, right?
Yeah, I think so. Wolfenstein. Yeah. And he's got roots, and he's just, every time this guy says something or does something,
people listen.
It makes headlines and everybody pays attention. And when he throws his support behind something, that's a good sign. You know, he's done the same with NVIDIA's G-Sync. He's talked a lot of support for OpenGL in the past too. And it always cracks me up how John Carmack is so loved by the community, and yet his, partner from back in the day, John Romero, is just so disliked.
And yeah, maybe he comes off a little more disingenuous. You can tell when Carmack's speaking, he is so, this is his passion, 100%. He's so
and he looks
it.
Like a nerd too.
Yeah, for know? Sure.
He looks like your old school nerd there. And Romero's got like that hairdo, and he's very he's very like rock star-ish. I think it was the whole Daikatana thing in that advertisement that kind of rubbed people the wrong way, and then the game wasn't that good. So, but you got to give him credit, because Romero's the one that coined the phrase deathmatch. So we can thank him for that, if nothing else.
I mean, it wasn't the biggest contribution. I mean, it's a match where people are dying. It wasn't a huge leap.
Okay. Yeah, we definitely have John Carmack to thank for a lot more.
Right.
But yeah, him, I'm excited to see what he does with the Oculus Rift, because this is something that has been talked about a lot, but it's actually making progress.
This is the first time I've been more excited about a peripheral than a game coming out.
Yeah.
There's no game that I'm more excited about than this Oculus Rift. And then one of the biggest games that is going to come out is Star Citizen, and it's compatible with it. That's amazing, because the biggest problem with the Oculus is it's not going to be compatible with most games. I don't think, unless they're built for it from the ground up. But Star Citizen, I believe it's when you're flying your personal spaceship, that's when you could put on your Oculus, and it's designed from the ground up to be just like you're looking out of your own eyes. So that's going to be immersive as all hell.
And Star Citizen, if you didn't know, is I can't remember the name of the guy's the name of the guy who's making it, but it's the same guy who made Wing Commander back in the day, and it is the largest crowdsourced game that's on Kickstarter right now.
Right.
And the
of all time.
Of all time.
Yeah.
Or you were saying it's the largest largest thing ever.
I believe so. They've made like millions and millions of dollars. I don't know what the. But they keep putting new, they keep hitting their goals and setting new goals that, hey, if we hit this new thing, we'll have this in the game. And they just keep going and going. So it keeps growing and growing.
Yeah. And it's got a lot of, it's got a lot of credibility. I feel like this guy, you know, there's this whole FUBU attitude with PC gamers, this whole for us, by us thing. And
thanks for the breakdown there.
Just in case you didn't know, dude, who wears FUBU anymore?
Yeah, it's true.
You got to explain that.
A YOLO, man.
A YOLO. YOLO swag. Hashtag. Yeah. Now we're talking the new lingo. But you know, like people in the PC gaming community, they know when people are genuine. They know who to trust and who not to trust, I think. And they know who to put their support behind. And this guy in... guys like John Carmack are definitely those people.
And what's interesting is others have been a lot of things in development that have talked to the community quite a bit, but this is, you're on a whole new level with things like EQ Next, where they're putting out videos every week, and games like Smite, where the community has immediate feedback as soon as the patch notes come out, and they implement things right away. You have Star Citizen, where it's being made with the people, because the people are the investors. So they get as much say as the people that are making it, you know? It almost guarantees something that the consumer is going to enjoy, because he was part of the creating process.
Yeah, the consumer plays a way bigger part in this now. It wasn't like back in the day. I don't even know if you could really, if they patched games that much back in the day. It's like a game came out and that was it. Maybe occasionally you get a patch 1.01 or 1.02.
Or a community would patch it.
Yeah, or the community would pick up slack, like in the case of, what was that Star Wars game? The Knights of the Old Republic 2, where they pretty much finished the game.
They data mined some, like, hidden deleted scenes, right? And put them back in the game. Yeah.
Yeah, and you have companies like Valve who...
Although they got a cease and desist, I believe.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, wow. From who? Was that Obsidian?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, wow.
I hope I'm not mixing up my stories here, but I think that that's what happened.
But...
hey, stop making our game better. Assholes. Yeah, no, seriously. Weird, right?
Yeah, I think you have to embrace that, and that's what Valve did, is they embraced that community. Valve was kind of built
open source
off of modding Half-Life, yeah. And that's why they've always been so open to the consumer and what their opinions are, and you really get the best product that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but going back to John Carmack here, I'm waiting to see what happens with the Oculus next, because they up the resolution. They kind of fix some of the stuff with the jitteriness when you turn from side to side. The responsiveness is supposed to be better. They're making improvements on this left and right. And with John Carmack joining the team, I don't know. Maybe it won't speed things up. Maybe it won't be groundbreaking, but it can't hurt. And I'm excited to see. I don't know. Have they scheduled when this is going to come out?
I believe it's 2014. That's all I know.
So it's soon.
And the developer kit costs $300. As far as a price point that I would pay, I think I would pay up to $1,000 for like a 1080p
wow.
resolution.
A grand?
I think so. I mean, I am way into this.
I would have to try that first.
I think I've told you before, but if my dream come true, it would be a holodeck in Star Trek. That would be that would be heaven. If I could die and live in a holodeck, I'd be set. This is one step closer to having that. Yeah. So
this is as close as you're going to get to the holodeck right about now.
Yep.
But I can't wait till I can try this thing out. As far as how much I would pay for it, $300 sounds about right. I mean, if it were more, I would have to be convinced.
Right, like try it out first, obviously, yeah. Not sight unseen.
Yeah, because that...
You can come over and try mine, dude, I'll tell you.
Okay. And I see this being huge for single-player games. Maybe not PvP, where you really want a competitive edge. I think it might detract from that. But for a single-player, immersifying the experience, if that's a word... I think it is, then I think it's going to be great.
And what about original content? Like, why wouldn't somebody make a 3D movie, a 3D CGI movie that you could participate in?
Yeah, absolutely. Because when you have something this big and this different, you don't even know the things that you can do with it yet until it's out there in the market. There may be a new kind of game that comes onto the scene because of this device.
So I already saw a porn thing for the Rift.
Yeah. Well, that's bound to happen.
Did you see this video?
Yeah, I did see that.
So if you haven't seen it, it looks like it's at a trade show or something. Mm-hmm. And you put on the Rift and you have this 3D chick laying there. And there's a hip thrust sensor on the end of the table. And so you thrust this thing and your avatar, I guess, does his hip thrust when you do yours. Yeah. And I guess she responds to how hard you thrust. It's one of the saddest things I've ever seen. But
I love how, like, mankind is just this progressive, curious entity. And, you know, we're always trying to explore and we're always trying to, like, level up, so to speak.
And then fit we find into porn.
Yeah, and then it's like we always want to explore stuff, and part of that is just we always want to stick our dick in it.
Yeah.
Just like whatever we discover, whatever we find, whatever we invent,
yeah.
We want to stick our dick in it.
Pretty much. And I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Cracks me up. But, hey, that's life.
It is.
All right, enough about that. What do you say we switch into our random topic?
I think today for the random topic, we're going to hit up horror stories have horror stories about PC games.
Like horror and scary PC games.
Thank you.
It's like a Halloween topic, but we're a little late for that. But that's all right. It's a good topic. That's a huge genre.
Now, I don't know if this is the best subject for me because I have literally stopped playing games because when you are a PC gamer, it's not like you're sitting on the couch and you're 15 feet away from the screen and the sound is coming from the TV. You're wearing the headphones, 3D surround sound. It's probably nighttime because you do most of your gaming at night. And the screen is, you know, not that far. And I think the reason that I'm good at most games is because I do immerse myself. And that's also my downfall when I'm playing scary games. I'm so into it. I so think that I'm the player or act like I'm the player that or the character that when they get scared, it scares me so bad. There were rooms in Doom 3. I'm glad we brought it up earlier because I forgot about that game. There were rooms in Doom 3 that I closed my eyes and ran through. Maybe just one. But it was just so scary. I just closed my eyes and ran through this room and hope I hit the door at the other side. That's how bad that was.
Doom 3 was a scary game. And if you play it now and you're like, no, it's not, then you got to take yourself back to 2004.
Yeah, something like that.
And you got to play it. I was playing it. These new NVIDIA cards had just came out. And I got one. So the graphics looked great. Like, this was the best looking game that you'd seen in a while. And I started playing this game, and it was just so dark. And you had to pull your flashlight out to see something. And then you had to put it away and pull your gun out to shoot at it.
Yep.
So,
and then you would get a little bit of light from your muzzle flash. And you would just see these millisecond flashes of horror of these deformed things running at you. It was really well thought out, and I love that game.
Very good. And you know what horror games really rely on is that word again, immersive. Mm-hmm. I got to look that up. I don't know if immersive is a word, but immersive definitely is. It's when you get just sucked into a game. You're drawn into it. Mm-hmm. It's like when you play 20 hours of WoW, and then you go to 7-Eleven, and you instinctually in your brain try to press Control B to open your inventory. Like, that's what your knee-jerk reaction is. Yeah. Like, that's immersion.
Or you're walking down the street after playing Grand Theft Auto, and you're like, I like that car. Oh, wait.
I would play so much Smite that I'd get in my car and drive, and I'd just see, like, options in traffic where I could throw up a wall like I was Ymir, or I could, like, frost breath and freeze people. Yeah. Like, it's just things you do mentally that
No wonder you quit, man. You were a junkie.
Like a drug. But yeah, horror games rely on that so much because that's the only way they can scare you is if you're drawn into this game.
Absolutely. There's some games that like try to be scary and like let's say Diablo or they have their scary, you know, this dungeon is supposed to be scary and it just doesn't work because it's top-down perspective. You're not immersed in the experience, so you don't feel like you're ever in danger. First person, or maybe even behind the back, like what is this game?
Oh, Dead Space.
Yeah, Dead Space.
Yeah.
Although Dead Space has its jump out at you when you don't expect it. That's what they mastered, really. But that's the only thing they don't really have creepy nailed.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
And that's kind of like a cheap excuse for a scare. It's like the cheap man scare is the jump scare in movies and in games. And that's what Dead Space does a lot. And I recently finished Dead Space 2, and it took me 2 years. I started playing it Halloween like 2 years ago, and I lost interest, kept coming back to it. And eventually I got to a point where I was like, I need to sit down and finish this game once and for all. And I finally did. And I thought to myself, what is it about this game that is making it so hard for me to sit down and complete? And I love what they do with the style.
Because you kept pissing your pants?
No, it wasn't scary to me. It was scary in a few spots.
Right.
I love the style of it. I love that like dark, dingy look.
Yeah, it looked great, right?
Yeah, and I want to point out a few things on this game too. When you're talking about immersion, you want to get rid of the HUD, the heads-up display, and they've fully done that. You can see your health on your spine by that tube that goes up your back. You can see how much stasis charge you have by that little half circle on your back, too. None of that is a HUD. That is something on your character in the game.
They probably nailed it more than any other game played.
I think they did it better. I have never seen it done better than in Dead Space.
And when you're going through your inventory, he's actually looking at a hologram.
Yeah, it's a projection.
Right. And you could totally see something like that happening in the future too.
Oh, totally. And when you communicate with people, they come up on a projection like that emits from you and you see it there. So it's not even like the game pauses and the inventory screen comes up. The game never pauses. Well, unless you hit escape, but when you check your inventory, the game doesn't pause. It's just this projection that stands out in front of you. So I think they nailed it on style, but like, why could I not like finish this game? Why did I just hate playing?
I never finished it either, but I had a cracked copy and it broke at a certain point. So that's my excuse. I might go back and play it. Is it part three that's co-op?
Mm-hmm.
We should play that, man.
We should. I have that. And that's the reason why I played Dead Space 2 is because I wanted to get to 3.
Is it on Steam?
No, it's on Origin.
Oh, I have a thing. It's just I haven't installed. It's a client, right? Like you mm-hmm. have to download a client.
Yeah,
yeah. I just haven't since it's I wiped my like computer. Steam. I haven't
it's
got it.
It's not that bad. I don't mind it. But you know what I narrowed it down to on this game on Dead Space 2 is pacing. I think it's the pacing of this game. Right off the bat, you're getting jump scares. You're getting eye gouges, blood and guts just everywhere. They just go balls to the wall right at the beginning.
Is that they're going towards the younger crowd, which I think they're all going towards instant gratification? You know, kids these days aren't waiting around for, you know, everything's at a touch of a button. So if you go, let's say Alien, the movie, right, would not be a hit today, I don't think. Because you don't even see the monster until the third act or something like that. Like, you're over an hour in before you even see the monster. And that's what made it one of the great things. You wait, mm-hmm. you wait.
It built up.
You built up, and then there it is, right? Resident Evil. You don't see your first zombie for, I would say, 20 minutes or something like that.
Yeah. Half-Life. You're walking around drinking coffee, talking to scientists.
And that's when the game even starts. Remember, you're on that train for, 10 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Just checking out the sights.
And even an accident goes wrong, and then you run around and the experiment goes wrong. You run around and like scientists are kind of injured and stuff, and it's a disaster. And then eventually like aliens come, and then like it's a layer on layer, and it's very progressive. Dead Space 2, just like everything all up front, and it stays at that level throughout the entire game. It was so repetitive for me.
I feel like that's where we're headed though. I think everything's going to be like that.
Although
Amnesia, I mean, I never even saw the monster in there, and I couldn't even play game.
Which is a great example of a scary game.
Yep.
Like, that one nails it right there. And complete opposite of Dead Space. It's all a build-up.
Yep.
It's all suspense.
I mean, I hate to say it, but I literally could not play that game. I was like, this is too scary. I don't want to see the first monster. So I never even got to it. I played it for 15 minutes. I put it down. I couldn't do it.
Yeah. I think repetition really kills a lot of experiences, but especially a horror or scary game. Like when it's just the same thing over and over again, it really detracts from any kind of fear they're trying to induce in you.
Did you play Slenderman?
Yeah, I did. I think there's like an official version on Steam now that someone put out. I haven't played that, but the original Slenderman, I did play that.
How scary was that?
That was pretty scary.
That's all suspense, right?
Yeah. I mean, occasionally you do see them at parts, but yeah, it was a creepy game. It kind of had the same thing as Amnesia going on, where it's a lot of buildup. You're walking around these dark woods. The graphics were really below my standards, though, and that was the hardest part about that game for me.
I think you really nailed what was wrong with Dead Space here.
Yeah, and I've seen other reviews that have said the same thing. I can't take full credit for that, but I think that's really...
You're fucking fired, dude. Get off this podcast right now.
That's it, man. We're done.
Hack.
But I think that's really what killed it for me. I will say one thing a lot, but I do have to say again that they did style in the best way possible. I've never seen a game... nail it with the style.
As Skyrim came close with no HUD, but the things would come up when they were, you know, once you did use magic, it would show up.
Yeah.
So that wasn't as good.
Crosshair and stuff.
But you couldn't really have health bars on the back of a barbarian. Yeah. It just wouldn't have worked.
Well, even in Dead Space, when you pull out a weapon, a little hologram displays from the weapon how much ammo you have.
That's just awesome.
And the crosshairs are like beams projecting from the weapon. It's just everything is completely cinematic.
The only part they you don't carry your other weapons is the thing, right? So you could have a bunch of weapons, but he's not actually carrying them
anywhere.
Yeah,
you don't see them all.
That's the only, I guess, downside.
But, you know, there are other problems with the game that I found, like, I used the Ripper the entire game, and that's all I ever needed. Occasionally,
that was the first weapon?
No. The Ripper is the saw, a saw that you shoot out in front of you, and you just slice them and dice them, and that's all you need to do the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think a better part of 2, one thing that they changed in 2 that I think made a huge difference was the character talked. In the first one, he didn't talk.
Mm. And, the silent protagonist.
Yeah, and I don't think it worked at all in the first one because it's a third-person point of view. You're looking over the shoulder. You see the character. You see the character interacting with situations. There's no way in a third-person point of view that you can imagine yourself as him or project yourself as him. It's not a first-person point of view.
So again, you're dealing with immersion as a concept.
Yeah.
Because you're doing it one way where no HUD, you're making it what it would be like in real life. But then he's not talking. And it's like, which one are you going to go for here? And then when he is talking, I wouldn't say that. So it takes you out of it. So it's really hard to do, to get all those balancing of how you're going to have a good storyline, have immersion, yet still have your character have his own voice.
Yeah. And I think in 2, it worked a lot better, him having his own voice, because they're trying to play this whole story like his wife was dead and you're supposed to feel sorry for him, but you just don't feel it in the first one. You really don't, especially because this guy's wearing like all this armor. You don't see his face. You don't see any facial expressions. It's just like this big metal bucket, you know?
Hey, man.
Who doesn't talk.
That's not armor. That's an engineer's outfit.
Yeah.
From the future.
From the future. They do have a lot more suits in the second one, which look cool. But, yeah, I mean, the game tried so hard to be scary, but it was very gory, but I wouldn't say it was scary. I think there's better examples of scary games out there, like Doom 3, like Amnesia, definitely. One game that I got during the Halloween sale that was really scary, almost so scary I couldn't play it. I'm going to come back to it. Paranormal.
And I've never seen, you know what, I'm not even sure I've seen a video on
it. It's a Greenlight game. We talked about that last episode. And it's basically like Paranormal Activity. It has nothing to do with the plot, but you play a guy who thinks his house is haunted. So he gets a video camera and he walks around his house trying to find proof of it. So the whole game you're playing with, the recording overlay.
Does that have night vision too? Do they play that? That's mm-hmm. a new thing that's been popping up in a lot of games lately.
Yeah, it's got night vision. You have to go recharge the camera by going, you go to bed and you recharge the camera and then you come out and you search around more for like scary stuff. And you're just walking around this house with really creepy stuff happening like while you're holding this video camera. It's built off the
Unreal Engine. What a great concept.
It was. The graphics aren't that great, but it was a really scary experience.
Do you know if it comes from the same guy? That made the movies? I know he's really into video games because he used to work with Chad over at Sony.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, he would, that was filmed around here in San Diego?
Yeah, that was filmed up in Rancho Bernardo.
Yep, Rancho Bernardo. And he was not showing up for work and he'd be there real sleepy and stuff because he was working on the movie. So they fired him. And then Paranormal Activity came out and nailed it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that I think he made that for, what, $15,000? And the movie did so well.
And when I say nailed it, I mean as a commercial success. I don't think it was a great movie.
Really? I like the first one and the third one. Not the second one. Fourth one is just where they jump the shark. And then they got that new one.
I feel like I don't hear that expression enough. I love that expression.
We're bringing it back, man. Nice. We're bringing it back. That's because nobody remembers Happy Days and the Fonz.
It's true.
I mean, I don't even remember that. That's a little before my time, too.
Yeah.
But what do you think about zombie games? Are zombie games just, like, is that played out or is that even scary anymore?
Bring them all. I love it, man. Yeah. The more that come out, the more often a good one will come out.
That's true.
And I love zombies. I love zombie movies. Always have. And way before everybody else was into zombies.
used to be way more niche back in the day.
Yeah, for sure. But the movies, everything, 28 Days Later, when that came out, changed the whole thing. Now there's fast zombies, even scarier. But now then you have The Walking Dead bringing it back the other way. It's great. People always say, like, what's the appeal? And for me, I'm not a gore. I don't like gore specifically or anything like that. It's just like, how is intelligence going to overcome this seemingly unconquerable problem? And that's mm-hmm. all it comes up. Every time that I hear like a new solution, I'm like, oh, that's awesome. I read the Zombie Survival Guide.
Great book.
Yeah, great book if you haven't read it. And like he said, ultimately, you want to live on an oil rig. Awesome. I would have never thought of that in a million years, probably. Yeah,
that was by Max Brooks, Mel Brooks' son. Mm-hmm. That guy who he went on to do World War Z. Great book. Yeah, decent movie. I like the movie.
I heard an interview with him before when he was... right before the movie came out, and he was very dismissive of the movie.
They strayed very far from the source material.
Like 100%, except for a global zombie problem?
Yeah, it didn't have a whole lot to do with the book, and the book was so good. But I think zombies are perfect for PC games because it's the perfect enemy. There's a thing... With games, when you're killing a ton of people in a game, there has to be moral clarity. Back in the day, we shot Nazis because Americans good, Nazis bad.
Right.
You know, everybody knew Nazis were bad. You shoot the Nazis.
Who do you think has died more in video games? Okay, I'll give you three options. Nazis, aliens, or zombies?
I think zombies because of Left 4 Dead and Left 4 Dead 2. I think more zombies died in that game because zombies are the perfect enemy.
Yep.
You can kill them without the slightest remorse. Hesitation
right.
of remorse. Or yeah, hesitation.
Although it gets weird if there's a baby zombie or a kid zombie.
Yeah.
They're always like, that's why you usually don't see them.
We have Walking Dead playing the whole emotional card.
Right.
You know, like people who just turn into zombies. But most zombie games are just like massive hordes of zombies that you kill as fast as you can.
Now, you know, you brought this up because we're talking about horror and PC gaming, but are there any scary zombie games? I can't. They're not really scary.
It's usually just a gib fest. A jib or gib? I never know what to say.
Jib.
Yeah,
it's no, just... gib. Definitely Gib.
Yeah. I'm sure he's out on that one. All right. But yeah, it's just a gore fest. It's just right. like slaughter them all.
Resident Evil was probably, one was probably the closest.
Okay.
But that didn't even
In Walking up. Dead, that was much slower paced and
less. Not scary, right?
Not scary. More unnerving, I guess.
Yeah.
And
emotionally racking, really. That really tugged on the heartstrings, one.
Which is good, because you don't have a lot of games who deal with emotion as a mechanic. So it was, I think that's why that game was so popular, because it was kind of new.
You know, I never finished it.
Really?
No, I gotta...
Oh, man.
You know, I never
played Chapter 4, but my girlfriend did that one, and we did the other ones together.
I see. But that's awesome that you're playing a game with your girl.
Well, that's what's awesome about that game, is you could play that with a girlfriend. It's not a difficult game by any means.
We're going to have to bring that up for another random topic.
Games
someday.
You can play with your girl.
Yeah, sure.
What, like all two of them?
yeah, right.
I don't know. No, actually, there are
Peggle for days, dude.
Yeah, anything with a controller. Well, maybe. But I don't know if I can think of another zombie game that...
was scary.
That was scary.
Yeah.
You're saying, which one did you say?
Resident Evil.
Resident Evil. Yeah.
You know, my roommate Chad and I recently played, because he had a PS3, he gets all the games for free, so we were playing Resident Evil 5, and it was scary only in that how bad that goddamn game was.
Yeah.
Like, it got these really good reviews, and then we played it, and the graphics were terrible, and here's how they told you to play. I'm not exaggerating here at all. We're playing co-op. The first control, it says use left mouse to walk. That's the last thing that it told us. It gave us two pistols and 200 zombies came at us. We died 20 times, 30 times, couldn't get out of the first room, and we stopped playing. I like I'm good at games, guys. I don't know what the deal was with this Resident Evil 5.
I think I played that with a friend of mine, Resident Evil 5. We played through the whole campaign. I think that game, if I'm remembering it correctly, if it's the one that I'm thinking of, it felt very much like a console port to me.
And we were playing it on the console.
Oh, so. You were playing it on the console.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I played it on the PC. And I don't have much experience with those, with Resident Evil games. I haven't played a lot of them. But it wasn't the worst experience.
The scariest moment in my video game life was, for sure, Resident Evil 1 was a big deal when it came out. I bought the game. My buddy, who's not that into video games but had heard how scary this game was, he's like, oh, I want to watch you play. It was a big deal. We went to the mall on the bus. We came back. I put the disc in the PS3. It starts up. It's like, Resident Evil. And games like that, games didn't really speak very much back then, so that was a big deal. And I'm playing about 15 minutes, whatever, haven't seen one bad thing. The graphics, if you look at them now, awful, but for me at the time, I'm like, wow, this looks amazing. You're walking down a nondescript hallway. I mean, it's just a hallway, nothing special. Three zombie dogs come through three pane glass windows at the exact same time. I lost my shit. I paused it and dropped my controller, and we both yelled out loud because we had turned off all the lights. We're trying to make it creepy as possible.
Get in the mood.
We lost our shit, man. To this day, nothing has scared me that bad. Well, amnesia, but there was never really, you know, I never let the game scare me that bad.
Yeah. You know, I have not played Amnesia. I think I started it up, played like the first 5 minutes, but I've not got into it hardly at all. And I hear so much about that game. That's definitely one I got to play.
And the sequel came out, A Machine for Pigs.
Yeah.
And it has an IGN score of 8.3. I guess it's pretty good.
Yeah. Can't be that bad. But we'll see what, you know, during Halloween, around that time, they always have these really good sales on Steam. And I bought a ton of stuff. And
you always buy a ton of stuff.
Yeah, man. I buy way too many games, and I never play them. So, I mean, we'll see what good comes of that, because I got a lot that I want to play through that I picked up. Paranormal was one of them, and, like, that game, there's, like, no save points in that game, though. So it's, like, old-school hard mode, which I think is why I'm putting it off. And I don't want to just, like, get online and Google all the answers. I want to actually experience that game. But it's a creepy one.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, but, you know, it's... it's kind of a struggle. There's a lot of, like, Halloween games that are kind of, like, cute, fun, like maybe Zombies Ate My Neighbors or Costume Quest.
Plants vs. Zombies.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I meant when I said Zombies Ate My Neighbors.
Oh.
I don't know. Those two games, like, seem so similar to me in animation, but Zombies Ate My Neighbors, that was Sega Genesis.
Hmm.
I did like Dead Island, though, and I know, like, that game got a lot of hate, but that game and Riptide, like the whole co-op thing, I loved.
If somebody asked me, like, oh, what's Bobby like in real life? I would say, he likes bad games. That would be my first description of you.
I do like a lot of games that get bad ratings.
Yeah.
I don't know. I got weird tastes. Another good game that I played, I guess it could be classified as a horror game, was Lone Survivor. Maybe like a 4-hour game. I heard someone describe it really well. It's like Alone in the Dark if it were on a Nintendo. Basically, it's like a side scroller. Very very vague with its story. Like,
kind of a platformer?
No, not even a platformer. More like an adventure side scroller game. Like, really weird. A really different kind of game. But you could probably buy it for like $250 or something.
Cool. Do you want to jump into our spotlight?
Yeah, let's do it. Spotlight of the week is going to be Spelunky.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. So I am a big fan of roguelikes. I didn't know this until recently because they didn't really exist as far as I knew.
It's a new genre.
Yeah, it's a new genre. And it's great in that the gameplay is usually really good. The thinking, the strategy happens before you actually play. And then, so you have strategy before you play, and then great gameplay to enact your strategy that you had thought of before. It's a really good concept. So the concept is, you play usually a simple game, really, and you die, but then you also, because they're extremely hard. It's one of...
It's a tough game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not just Spelunky, but roguelikes in general are generally, they're built to kill you. But you go back to the drawing board with a few more resources, more information, and you get to think of how you're going to go at it the second time or the third time. And you get these small rewards because you get a little bit further and a little bit further. And really, I mean, isn't that... It's a little microcosm of life, really. And, you know, you run into these problems, you think of how you're going to beat it, and then you overcome your problem. But this isn't a very condensed version of that. So you get immediate rewards, which is what video games are in general. It's just a hijacking of your reward system. But this is a new, faster way of doing it. Spelunky... in general, though, isn't like other ones where you make progression between runs because you don't get anything better. The only thing that you get that improves you is your own skill. Every time you die, I'm not going to die like that again, although you do 50 times, and then you learn. And then you're like, okay, you don't have to deal with that obstacle anymore mentally because you've already mastered that obstacle. So that you don't have to think about that anymore. So then you die 50 times to the next thing. And then eventually you just, you know, you're really good at just going through the levels, and then you go through a whole new world that has all new obstacles. And
so it's kind of like pass or fail. Like you, there's no save points.
No save points.
There's no leveling up. There's no acquiring new things that persist through death.
Right. Only knowledge. And this is the first roguelike that I've had that's like this, where you're building. And you even have a journal that tells you about, although not that many, much information,
about,
but
yeah, it tells you about enemies. That
right,
you
right. Basic information.
Yeah.
But you're also making a virtual or a mental one in your head where you can, you know how to deal with this. And then, so the only thing where like progression, you can skip to the world two once you've figured out all the quests for the world one. And then the same thing for three. And then same thing for four. Although the one for four, it was really tricky because you need to bring an item from world one. So you have to play through world one, not die on two, not die on three, and that unlocks four permanently after that. But I thought I would never be able to do it, but I got lucky and got done on my like third run or something like that.
Yeah. Now, can't you unlock like a port to go directly to another level in this
game? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The worlds, basically, is what
the world,
if you want to think of them like Super Mario worlds, you know, there's 1-1, 1-2, 1-3, 1-4, and then 2-1, yeah. And that's how it works. And once you complete all the quests for world one, you can jump right to it. Now, let's get into why it's fun. The physics and the way these things... the whole world, it's randomly generated. That's another thing about roguelites. Usually it's randomly generated. So you're trying to do this thing a million times, but it doesn't get stale because everything's randomly generated and it's fresh. But the thing that isn't new is the physics. And the physics in this game are great. Like crazy things happen all the time where like, you'll throw a rock at a spider. It'll go through the spider. It'll bounce off the wall. It'll come back and hit you in the head. That's like a very basic one, but way crazier things have happened where like you go in front of a spin trap and it shoots a dart at you, but there was a spider web in the way and it caught the thing in midair and you're like, whoa. And then you walk underneath it and the spider web disappears and then it falls on your head afterwards. And you're like, what the fuck just happened? You can't even believe the stuff that happened. And it's an unscripted game where all the ingredients are in there for chaos. So you play it a million times and a new thing happens every time where you're like, oh, I can't believe, what are the chances of that happening? Like I thought, and there's no recourse. You can't, if you fuck up, you're fucked for the rest of the game. And it's just really, really fun.
Yeah, for a game that looks so graphically simplistic, there is a lot that can happen in it. I've only played a little bit of it, maybe like an hour or so. And it was not what I thought when I first picked it up. Visually, like, I liked the look of the game. I'm like, this looks like a fun little game, like a game I could play with my girlfriend, you know, like something fairly simplistic. I started playing it. It was way harder than I had anticipated. And I think I got kind of turned off by it again. But I think, too, like, I picked it up primarily because it looked like a multiplayer game. But apparently you can't play...
multiplayer on the internet.
Yeah, on the internet. You can only play locally. Which,
really odd choice.
Yeah. I really wish you could play.
It would be so much fun. I've played it locally and, we had a great time, me and my roommate, and you could even add more players, but it's not making it easier because you can hurt each other.
It's kind of ironic how it does that. You know, usually when you get more players, on the same team, you think that it would make it easier, but it actually adds a lot more chaos to the situation.
Yep. I've told the story before, but, me and Chad were killing each other quite a bit, just trying to get through level one, like, because it was so much harder. And he wasn't used to playing the game. And somehow we both got shotguns in the game. And shotguns are pretty hard to find, but somehow we got two of them. And so we start walking with two shotguns, and then we both stopped at the same time, and we're like, we should put these down. Because we knew for sure we're going to kill each other with it. So we just put them down, even no matter how hard they were to get, we put them down and just walked out of there.
Yeah, just better to leave those behind.
For sure.
Yeah, that's definitely one of those games that I got to pick up again and really, really like sit through and get into it. And you probably need a controller. I highly recommend a controller.
Absolutely.
For that game.
And I've beat the game, and the replay value is in the two things. One, it has a daily ladder board that you can only play once a day, and then every 24 hours. And then it's cool to see how far you can get by how much gold you can mine or whatever. And then the second thing is there's a very, very hard thing that you can – there's a secret fifth world that you can get to, but it – I mean, I haven't even got close. That's how hard it is. And I've been playing this game a lot. You have to go through world one and grab something to use in world two, to use something in world three to use. So you have to do all this without dying. And then you get, it's hell. It's a hell level and you can get tons of gold. So that one leads to the other. If you're able to get to hell, you're going to be really high on the leaderboards for that day. So the repair value is there just out of spirit of competition, which is funny because it's a single player game primarily.
Yeah, that's you don't see a lot of challenging games like that. You saw them all the time back in the old days, and you know they were very unforgiving. But nowadays, you don't see it a lot. So when one comes along, I don't know. I don't know if it appeals more to old gamers like us, if the newer generation is kind of turned off by this stuff, but I don't know. I think this game has been pretty popular.
It was huge on Xbox Live, I believe, is where it came from.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why it got ported over.
Yeah.
I think that's how it went.
Well, I think it was actually a web-based game.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, I'm not sure about its origins, but I think it was web-based, and there was like a free version out there, and then they kind of shined it up a bit and put it on Steam. I don't know. That's a story I heard. Anyway, cool stuff. Let's talk about like a top five scary games here. Since we're talking about horror, scary PC games in that kind of genre, what would you say top five all time? And we're talking about scary games. We're not talking about just gore. You know, we're talking like scare to you.
I'm definitely gonna have to go with Resident Evil. It had the scariest, just because it was way ahead of its time. There wasn't even scary games up to that point, not mainstream anyway. So that was huge for me. Doom 3, the action, the way they laid it out, the look, the whole flashlight thing. So they even modded that. Somebody called it the duct tape mod.
Yep.
Everybody knows that. I mean, it's why couldn't
it? It kind of took away from the experience.
Right. I never installed it because I would, you know, I thought it was a great concept.
I thought they mixed the whole first person shooter pretty well with the scary thing. Like, it didn't slow down the game. The scary anticipation suspense didn't slow down the game, and the action didn't detract from the suspense.
Right.
It was a good balance. So, yeah, I'd throw Doom 3 up on that list, too.
I'm going to put Amnesia just because of the pure fact that I can't play it.
So. I'm going to take your word for it on that because I have not played that game, but I have heard from everybody that that is one of the scariest experiences. Mm-hmm. I want to put Paranormal up on there, but I have not played that game enough to really endorse that.
Okay. Yeah, it might fall off right away.
It very well might, but from what I have played, that game looks promising.
Mm-hmm. Silent Hill was really scary. The pacing in that game was really like it was all that slow payoffs. There was a lot of nothing happening and then something would happen. And I know I'm talking about console games here, but this is this is what scared me the most, really. Did you ever play it?
Silent Hill, yes, I did.
You had a radio that didn't work, yeah. But all it did was let you know when they're getting close.
Mm-hmm.
Great concept.
Yeah.
Really
got copied so many times.
Yeah.
That whole thing. I played a lot of games after that were almost, you know, when you play one game and like, oh, that was amazing. And then you play like all these other games that are like the exact same. It's like they totally just copied it, almost right. Just put a mod on it. I remember playing Evil Dead. God, this might have been on the Dreamcast, and it was like an exact copy of Silent Hill. It was so bad. But yeah, they did a really good job. That was such a new thing and so creepy.
So what are we going to do? We're going to put Doom 3 at number one? What do you think?
I'm going to have to ask you on this. Do you think Amnesia was scarier than Doom 3?
Well, I obviously enjoyed Doom 3 more. Because I actually played it. It was playable and scary, so I'm going to have to give it the top spot. At least above Amnesia. But I might give Amnesia number two.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. I'll take your word for it on that one. You know what we didn't talk about, those Fear. I mean, what about those games? Was that really scary?
Wasn't scared at all.
No?
The entire time.
Creepy girl?
They just did the creepy stuff. Yeah. It wasn't scary for me at all.
The mistake they made in Fear 1 was that scary things really happen, but they would happen, but you'd have to be looking in that direction to notice it. You could miss it just by looking in a different direction.
Right.
So, yeah.
Maybe I didn't play it enough because I don't remember. It seemed like I was playing Counter-Strike most of the time, like a single player Counter-Strike, and then something kind of creepy would happen, but
yeah.
Did you think it was scary?
When I first played it, I did. When I replayed it last summer.
No shame in saying that you didn't right after I said
that it wasn't.
Yeah.
No, I totally, when I first played it, I really liked that game when I first played it. And I thought it did a good job of like incorporating fear, but there wasn't a lot to compare it to back then, or maybe I just wasn't exposed to as much. But I did think it was pretty scary back when I originally played it, but on the replay, not so much. I want to play Fear 2 and Fear 3 and kind of feel those ones out. I don't expect much, but at the very least, you'll get a decent first-person shooter out of it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. You think Slender Man is up there?
I'd put Slender Man up there. That was definitely a pretty good scary game. I don't know. I feel like people are going to totally disagree with what we had to say here, though, because people probably had way more horrifying experiences with games. But
you know, there's probably a lot of games I'm not even thinking of. We should have done a little more research on this one, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's probably a wide variety of scary games out there. But there's a lot of games that are marketed as like the horror genre, but don't even try to be scary. Like a lot of those zombie games we were talking about. So I don't know.
Can we get into what we're playing?
Yeah, let's talk about what we're playing. So what are you playing,
Bobby?
Oh, me? Let's see. I am really close to beating Guacamelee.
I love the name.
It's got,
I almost bought it on name alone.
I know. Exactly. That's what caught my eye. The name of it, I mean, that's an awesome name. And the style of this game. It's got this, you're going to have to help me out with this. Is it Dios de los Muertos?
Dia de los Muertos.
Okay, there we go.
Day of the Dead.
Day of the Dead. Accent and all.
Yeah.
Which, if you don't know what that is, I mean, we live in San Diego, so we are surrounded by Hispanic culture down here, but it's like
goddamn racist. What are you trying to say?
Whoa, hey now. But it's kind of like Halloween. It's like a Mexican Halloween thing. Sugar skulls and skeletons. I love the look. I absolutely love the look.
It's very cool art and stuff.
Yeah, and that's what really drew me to this game was the name and the style of it, which probably all the wrong reasons to be attracted to a game, but it does deliver. It's a puzzle platformer. Definitely recommend a controller. Really fun. And I'm about to fight the last boss. And even after that, there's an area that you can unlock and you can play these challenge modes. So there's a little more playability to it. You know, it'll go on a little further than that. But I think I bought it for about seven or maybe around 10 bucks. I'd say 10 bucks, it's a buy. $7.50, a definite buy. Like, it's one you'll play through and have a decent experience with. So, yeah, it gets my recommendation.
Me, I'm not so much playing this as it's kind of like a little hobby that I have is modding Skyrim. Even though I don't even play Skyrim, I mod the hell out of it. I watch this, Skyrim Modding Weekly, I believe. It's a YouTube channel. It's one of my, I love every time it comes out. The guy does I wish I had the name because he does a really good job. He's just funny when he's presenting them, and I'll see which ones he likes the best and I'll mod them in. And I can't even tell you the last time I booted this game in, but booted the game up, but the modding experience itself is a game in itself because you have to get these things to work together. And there's a lot to it. And I was just complaining to Bobby the other day is there's a new EMB, which is the lighting part of the game, the lighting and some of the graphics. And it's so intense and changes the game so much that my GTX 550 Ti, I believe.
Is the graphics card yet? 550 Ti?
Yeah, I think so. Or 560 Ti. It can't run it. The recommended was a 660 Ti or better.
Wow.
And so I'm kind of bummed out that I can't run a game that I beat 2 years ago. You know what I mean? But I watched the videos of how great this, it's amazing. This is PC gaming at its root, right? The whole modding community on Skyrim, I'm going to go on a limb and just throw out, it might be the most modded game currently. I don't know.
Yeah. A lot of people have that story where they spend more time modding the game than they actually spend playing the game.
Yeah.
Which says a lot.
I mean, it's like a person tinkering with their car that they have in the garage. They don't really drive it. It's not a daily driver.
Yeah.
Same thing, you know, it's a little hobby that you have.
Very definitive of PC gaming.
Mm-hmm.
If you're modding stuff, that's PC gaming all over. Can't do that with a console.
And that's probably the number one thing we have up on those bastards. Let's just call them those bastards.
It's a war.
We're not going to call them console anymore. War.
But you think of like games that have come out of mods, you know, TF2, Team Fortress Classic, which I played a lot back in the day, Day of Defeat. These are like Half-Life 2 mods, and now they're full-blown games.
You know,
they've inspired
TFC,
other games.
I might put a number 6 on our all-time list now that I think about it.
Yeah.
Man, I love that game.
That was a lot of fun. There were grenades in that one. They got rid of it when they went to
so
Team Fortress 2. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've been just modding the hell out of Skyrim, huh?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. I can't.
There's crazy stuff, man. There's a Pokemon mod where you can put people or any kind of monster into a Pokeball and then go run up to somebody else and like throw the Pokeball and he'll be your minion, whatever it was. It could be a dragon. You can put it in your it's super overpowered.
Wow.
and game breaking, but it's a lot of fun. And just today I watched Skyrim at the movies, and this guy put a whole little mini movie of the Avengers because somebody made an Avengers mod. So he redid the Avengers inside of the Skyrim.
Wow.
And, if you haven't seen it, I saw Cops Skyrim Edition. They have two seasons. Funny stuff. Even if you haven't played Skyrim, you're not. It has nothing to do with the lore.
Yeah,
it's really funny. And they also have another one called Real World Skyrim Edition, where they, you know, they have all these humans living in a house together, but then the orc shows up and ruins everything.
Yeah.
And he's like a college guy, and the Nooch is what. Anyway, you got to watch it. It's funny, funny stuff.
Wow. And you're probably going to lose all that when you go Elder Scrolls Online, I guess. You can't mod that game.
Yeah. No, actually, in the top left corner, when you log into that game, there's an add-ons button. So I think maybe it might just be UI or whatever.
Yeah, probably like World of Warcraft,
right,
where it's...
But it's funny that it's already up and front, like, here you go.
Well, it's a big part of the Skyrim community.
Right,
I wouldn't be surprised if they acknowledged it in some way.
Yep.
Yeah. So we'll see. So anything other than that, or just Skyrim mods and...
Skyrim mods, Spelunky, and Rogue Legacy. But I talked about that last week.
Yeah. Yeah, roguelikes, man, dominating the playlist.
At least mine, anyway. I mean, FTL, I put in so many hours. Dungeons of Dreadmore, I put in so many hours. Yeah. It might be my... It's definitely my...
Well, that type of game racks up hours.
That's for sure.
Kind of game that it really accumulates hours. It's like deathmatch PvP games. Like, you sit down to play those, 5 hours later, you realize how long you've been on.
It's all about that quick restart, I think.
Yeah.
Is, you know, you get killed in a deathmatch, boom, you're right back in it.
It's more continuity. Kind of like this other game I've been playing, Goddess. I guess I'll talk about that a little bit. But that game is exactly like that. It's always just the one more click thing. It's always just like, well, yeah, okay, yeah, I got to go do this. But let me just harvest this favor right here and then, like, reshape that mountain. And then, okay, now they're building those houses there. And, you know, it's just always like one more little tiny thing. It's just so incremental
that
you cannot step away from it.
You know, I was up till 6 playing Rogue Legacy the other night. You know how many times I told myself, this is the last game?
Yeah.
But it just never works out.
Yep.
Because now you have more gold to see how, and then see what kind of new traits your new guy's going to have. It's, they really nailed it with this new concept.
Yeah, they smoothed out that whole transitional period between plays. Because when you're playing, you're having fun, you're not thinking about time. When you die, you're kind of thinking, okay, maybe this could be, you know, it's a stopping point. It's a possible stopping point.
Right.
And they've kind of like...
streamlined the death process.
They've streamlined it, so it makes it very hard to put down. But, you know, aren't computer games like that in general?
Mm-hmm. It's true.
All right, well, I guess that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast. You can find us on our website at digitallogic.host.oi.com. 2 L's there. I feel like I got to say that every time.
Digital. And a K.
And a K for logic. We need better.
At least it's not a number, man.
At least it's not a number. Jeez.
The L's are ones and the K is a 9.
And the O's a 0. And you know how it goes. If you want to email us, we're at digitallogicgaming@gmail.com. Digital with an L, logic with another L, K. They'll get it eventually.
They will. And we'll have links wherever.
Yeah, we'll have links.
This.
So, yeah, check us out. Let us know what's on your mind. We'll probably respond to whatever we get. Comment, rate, subscribe, you know, all that shit. And thanks for listening.
Peace.